about you, but I already feel filled this morning. Amen. But I want more. Amen. You can never get too much of the Word of God. You can never get too much of the Holy Ghost. You can't overdose on it. That's right. Amen. You just go hog wild with it. Amen. You know that expression. Praise God. Lord, we just thank you today for the Word of God. And Lord, thank you for fresh utterance today in the Holy Ghost, a divine flow from heaven here in our midst, Lord, that we'll get in that flow and that flow of that river, Lord, that you have for us here today. And thank you, Lord, the river is flowing from the very throne of God, and that river of healing is here, that river of blessing is here. And Lord, we just tap into it by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here, isn't it? It's just good to be together. It's good. This is our family here today. Amen. Amen. Sometimes your spiritual family, you can be closer to them than you would even your natural family. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that at all. Amen. Someone says, hallelujah. Praise God. We always got the family of God. And this is a big family. It's growing by the minute. The family of God is growing. People are getting saved. Satan is in panic mode. Okay. You know, I got to thinking about this because you got all this stuff that's happening. You know, you see the news media and all this stuff that's going on with terrorism and all this kind of stuff. And they want to paint the picture that the whole world is just falling apart and that Christians are going down the tubes and all this kind of stuff. But do you know who's in the greatest panic of all? The devil. I mean, he even reared his ugly head up when Jesus said, if you come to torment us before the time. Well, that was 2,000 years ago. Satan is going to spend his entire future in the lake of fire. That's his destiny. He chose that. He wasn't deceived. He did it himself. Willingly, openly, he rebelled against God. He was an archangel. God did not create him the way he is now. Okay? He was Lucifer, son of the morning, worship leader in heaven. And yet he rebelled against God, willingly, knowingly what he did. That's why there's no redemption for the devil. Mankind was deceived. And that's why there's redemption for us. Amen. But the next time the devil starts tormenting you and doing his thing, you know, he's come down, the Bible says, with great wrath, knowing that his days are short. Okay? Yeah, they're getting shorter by the minute. He's in a panic mode. Satan is the spirit of fear. And he is in panic mode. If you've ever seen a scaredy cat, he's the one. He's freaking out because he knows his destiny is the lake of fire. But you know what? That's not our destiny. We're going to the throne room. We're at the right hand of God the Father. Amen. We've already been raised up to sit with him in heavenly places. So we look down. Amen. That's what some people that are new to this, we sing, put him under our feet. They're like, what? Put him under my feet? What are you talking about? Jesus said, we tread upon serpents in Luke chapter 10. He says, I've given you power and authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you or harm you. Amen? Amen. Praise God. I thought I'd just throw that in for no extra charge this morning. Amen? But we're the victors. We're not the victims. We're the victors. And we're coming up and we're coming out. Amen? Amen. Ephesians, the 5th chapter, we looked at this as our main text here. And let's take a look at this again. Verse 18, it says, do not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Now, how many know Ephesians is in the New Testament? That's the letters that are written to the church. So it's written to believers. It's not written to sinners. It says, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, the word be filled means, it's in the Greek, it means be being filled or stay constantly filled with the Spirit. So he's saying here, don't get drunk on the natural stuff, but go ahead and get drunk on the Spirit. Amen? You can get so drunk of the Holy Ghost, you forget about your problems. Your cares are all cast on the Lord. See, why do people drink in the natural? Why do they get drunk? A lot of them try to drown out their problems. Well, I can just drink this away. Well, temporarily, they might feel pretty good. But you know what? They got to wake up the next morning with a hangover. All right? But see, you can get drunk. See, the devil is only a counterfeiter. He's not a creator. He's only a counterfeiter. Who created music? God. Who perverted music? The devil. All right? He is not a creator. He's only a perverter. God created getting drunk with his presence, not getting drunk with beer and wine and everything else that's out there, or high or whatever, stoned. Okay? People are looking for a euphoria. They're looking for a feeling. Well, God can give you something that the world can't give you. Amen? Praise the Lord. But it says that we're not to be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled, stay constantly filled with the Spirit. We use some illustrations along that line about how your cell phone, if it runs out of your battery, all those 2.5 million apps that are potential availability to your iPhone or whatever phone you have, none of that stuff will work if your battery is drained. Isn't that true? Amen? We were at our airport recently, and they had all these charging stations where you plug in. Everybody's looking for a place to plug in, get some juice before you get on that aircraft. Amen? Well, how many of you know we got to stay plugged in? We got to stay built up. And not just think about God like a spare tire. When was the last time you thought about your spare tire in your car?
2 months.
You don't wake up and you don't think about it until you done get a flat. What they call spare tires now is nothing more than a donut, you know. But, you know, you don't wake up in the morning thinking about, man, that's a really nice spare tire in the back of my car. I can't even think of the last time I even thought of it until right now. I know it's there, but I have never even seen it. But a lot of people treat God that way. They treat God as the, when their back's up against the wall, and they're frustrated, and they've just run out of everything they can possibly think of to try to make life work. Then they turn to God and say, all right, God, I'll come to you right now. How many of you know it doesn't have to be that way? You can think about God when you get up and things are going well, when your body's healed, money in the bank, kids are all behaving. Amen? You can think about, we should be thinking about God morning, noon, and night. Thinking about his word, thinking about his presence. Not just when our backs are up against the wall. Not like the two guys that got into trouble and the other one says, you know, I think we ought to pray. And the other fellow responded and said, has it come to that? Like a last resort. No, prayer is a lifestyle for us. Faith is a lifestyle for us. Now to the world, that looks kind of strange. But it's the safest place that you could be when you're trusting the Lord. Think about the last time your back was up against the wall. And you needed God to come through for you. And you weren't sure how it was going to happen. You've been there before? Like, this thing came up. I don't know how, Lord, this is going to work out. This unexpected bill came in, or this came up, or this came up. And you're like, but don't forget about what God did for you back yonder. The times that you were in tight spots and God somehow got you through. Maybe by the skin of your teeth, as people say, but he still got you through. Yes. Well, that doesn't mean that he's forgotten you the next time you face something. The disciples had a great miracle, and the multitude was fed supernaturally. And the very next day, they were in the boat. The very next day, and they forgot to take bread with them. Jesus perceived their thoughts. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Okay? Because their reasoning kicked in. They forgot about the day 24 hours prior to, or less than that, but before what happened, the miracle of the multitude being fed. Supernatural, with the little boy's lunch. Two crackers and four loaves and two crab, whatever it was. A little boy's lunch. And Jesus multiplied that supernaturally and fed the multitude. Now the point being is this. God can do a great miracle for you, but then that might be Monday, but then Tuesday comes, you need another miracle. Does that mean that God ran out of his miraculous power? Absolutely not. But he expects us to trust him. I think about the Israelites, for example. You know, when God did all those mighty things and brought the 10 plagues on Egypt to bring them out of Egypt, after being in bondage for 410 years, that's a long time. And God did a series of miracles for the Israelites. I mean, miraculous. And then the final thing that he did, of course, was he split the Red Sea, the greatest miracle with his rod, okay? God used that rod everywhere he went, okay? And how many of you know we got a rod and it's our mouth?
Amen.
Amen. It's our tongue.
Yeah.
And using it for the word of God, for good. Well, here's what happened. You know the story. You've seen the Ten Commandments. And they get through, you know, and they go through the Red Sea and they get on the other side, and Miriam comes up with a song. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider thrown into the sea. Somebody made a song of that a few years ago, you know. Well, they were dancing and singing, you know, and so forth. Yeah. But the very next day, they needed some water, and they needed water. And they began to grumble and complain. Well, see, God is looking for faith. They should have had a little faith, because why would God spend all that energy to get them the plagues and so forth on Egypt to deliver them and bring them through the Red Sea supernaturally, split the sea down the middle? You see walls of water on each side, it says. You could probably see fish in there. You know what I'm saying? Amen? That's right. So after something like that happens, you would think, you would see, experience alone doesn't create faith. You can have great miracles. John the Baptist was being heavily persecuted, and he was thrown into jail. Well, right before that happened, John the Baptist baptized Jesus Christ, and the Lord told him, the Spirit of the Lord said, that whoever you see the Spirit light upon, he said, that's the one. And so all these people were coming being baptized, but there was only one person that he saw the Spirit of God descending upon him. All right? And he knew that was the one. So he baptized Jesus in the River Jordan. Remember that? Mm-hmm. So, and then a voice spoke from heaven, God the Father, that said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hallelujah. In one setting, you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. In one setting. You hear the Father, you see Jesus, you see the Holy Spirit lighting upon Jesus, Father, Son, Trinity, all in one setting. Mm-hmm. Now you would think that when you hear and experience something along that line, you'd be like, I will never doubt again. Wrong. A few short days later, they arrested John, put him in jail, and he sends back some of his followers and to Jesus. He said, are you the Christ, or do we look for another? Now, wait a minute. This is the guy that just experienced the miracles. Now he's doubting, which shows us that miraculous experiences are not enough alone to sustain you. Are you with me now? We have to have a deep-rooted faith in who God is inside of our hearts, especially in these last days right now. Jesus talked about how that because iniquity would abound in the last days. In other words, sin and corruption. How many of you know there's a lot of sin and a lot of corruption in the earth? There's a lot of bad stuff going on in the earth. And Jesus said this, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now that doesn't have to happen. In other words, people get offended. John the Baptist got offended. Because Jesus sent word back to him. He says, blessed is he that is not offended. He says, by the way, tell him, he said, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. And blessed is he that shall not be offended in me. Okay? Now, could it be, just a thought, could it be that if John the Baptist hadn't got offended, he wouldn't have got his head taken off? That's just a thought. I'm not preaching that. I'm just saying something. All right? Amen? So we have to guard ourselves against being offended in the last days, people not meeting our expectations. Okay? That could be your family members. That could be anybody not meeting what you think they should be measuring up to. All right? And then walking in a spirit of forgiveness. Being quick to forgive. Quick to forgive. How many of you know you have opportunities on a daily basis to forgive folks? Even yourself. Like, doggone, I shouldn't have done that. You know, but forgive yourself too. If God forgives you, you forgive you. Okay? So where are we here? In Ephesians. Took a little side journey there, but that's okay. Ephesians 5:18 says, do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now notice that phrase, be filled with the Spirit. Can we say that together? Be filled with the Spirit. This is not a suggestion. This is a command. We are to be filled with the Spirit. as Christians. Now, notice the next verse. Speaking. Everybody say speaking.
Speaking.
Amen. I can see already how healing's going today. Are tied hand in glove. Here we go. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? But he says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. In other words, you're going to have a song in your heart. When you're filled with the Spirit, man, you got to, even if you have to whistle, bless the Lord. It's at least it's a happy whistle. It's not in a minor chord. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking, speaking. Now, we're talking about being filled. Now, what I want to talk about today in conclusion here today is that practical steps to stay filled, to stay full, to stay filled with God. Notice that when we're filled, the first thing that happens is verse 19. When you be filled with the Spirit, verse 18, notice this, speaking. Say speaking.
Speaking.
So your mouth is the key. Your mouth is the key to being filled with the Spirit. When a person gets drunk, they have to use their mouth. How do they get intoxicated? They put it in their mouth. Well, how do you get intoxicated with God? Full of God, where it won't hurt you. Speaking, your mouth. And here's the pattern that I want to show you today, because when a person is filled with the Spirit, the first area that it will affect them is their mouth. Okay? You go to Acts, the 6th chapter again, and I'll just read one verse here. Acts 6 and verse 4. We saw this the last couple of weeks. I'm not going to go into detail about this, but the early church had an issue with, you know, their widows being neglected in their daily ministration, and so they chose men that were full of faith and of the Holy Ghost whom they could appoint over this business. And notice the apostles said in verse 4, that we might give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. So there's two elements here, prayer and the Word. If you and I are going to stay full, we have to stay prayerful, and number two, we have to stay full of the Word. Amen? Now, when I was growing up, you know, people would make the statement, yeah, they're just full of it. That's not a positive thing. Okay? This isn't what he's talking about. We're to stay full. Full of God. And the more full you are, it's almost like a sponge. Anybody know what a sponge is? You've experienced it. You've had one before. But if you take a dry sponge that's been sitting there for weeks on end, and you take that sponge, the only thing that's in that sponge is air. You can poke that thing every which way. All it is just air. But if you take that same sponge and soak it in a bucket of water and leave it there for a while, and you pull that sponge out, it's just dripping, sopping wet. Well, what's happened? That sponge absorbed a lot of that water. And any pressure whatsoever that's applied to that sponge, even the minutest detail, I mean, just the smallest amount of pressure, what's going to happen? Water will come out. Why? Because that sponge is not full of air anymore. It's full of water. It's a container. Your spirit is a container. Okay? And what you put in your spirit is what's going to come out of you when the pressure is applied to you. Now, I grew up in a time that I remember was a real popular thing, you know, and it was not scriptural, it was unscriptural, it was wrong, that trials and tribulations make you strong. And it's like people get on that bandwagon, yeah, trials and tribulations, they just make you strong. Come on, trials and tribulations. Listen, if trials and tribulations made you strong, everybody would be a spiritual giant. How many have been through some stuff? You've had some trials and tribulations, maybe this week, you know? Well, if trials and tribulations alone made you strong, you'd be a spiritual giant. Nope, it's not the spiritual, it's not the trials and tribulations that make a person strong. It's what you're full of. Okay? Weights do not make you strong. It's when you resist them. Okay? You can buy a gym membership, get the best looking outfit, Nike, everything, you know? Or Asics, whatever you like, you know? Get all the beauty, you know, matching t-shirts, the whole nine yards, you know what I mean? doesn't do a blasted thing. If you just walk into that gym membership, you might have paid hundreds of dollars for that. Just walk around looking at everybody. After an hour, you leave, you're like, and you feel weaker than ever. Why? Because you have to resist weight and push it away. So it's not the weight that makes a person strong. It's the resistance of it that makes a person strong. Do you understand that? So it's not the trials, it's not the tribulations of life that make a person strong. They're meant to crush you. They're meant to crush you. They're meant to discourage you, to put you down. There are people today that are not here because they're discouraged. Because pressure has pushed them down. And they think there's no way out. Well, there is a way out. God's the way out. Amen? So, he says that we will give ourselves continually to the Word of God and to prayer. Okay, so these are the two elements that we're talking about, is the Word of God and prayer. All right? Now, you don't have to spend an enormous amount of time doing these things to be successful in your life. Okay? A person could come in here that's never been born again, right off the street, right out of the hotel. Maybe they had religion or maybe they didn't at all, but they didn't have Jesus. They can come in those doors. Brother Walt's kind enough to open the door, just let him escort him right in. Amen? And you see that smiling face, they're going to come in. Amen? I see you back there, brother. Praise God. Thank God for Brother Walt and all of our ushers. Amen? Amen? Amen. Thank God for these guys. Amen? I thank God for all the people that help in any capacity in this church, and I mean that sincerely. We could not do it without you. You know, and my point being is this, is somebody could come in and they've never even heard. Recently, we had the opportunity, Lynn and I, to share the gospel with someone that was from England. And Lynn told, it was a waitress, she said, I just want to let you, she was a real sweet lady, she was waiting on us, you know, just real kind. And so Lynn said, did anybody ever tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you? And she says, no, I've never heard that before. We assume that people know all this, that people hear this, and there's so many people that just don't know that. Okay? And, boy, she just opened up her heart. You know what I'm saying? And everybody wants to hear that God loves them and God cares for them. Right? It's a mean world out there. You know? It's a dog-eat-dog. You know, the way the mindset is in the world, people are looking for what you and I have. And if we show them kindness and we show them love, I guarantee you it's going to pull their hearts in towards God. But if somebody came in here and, you know, they heard a short 3-minute sermon about being born again, believing in your heart, God raised Jesus from the dead, and confess him with your mouth, you shall be saved. There's no devil in hell that can keep them back from getting saved. They can raise their hand. They can pray right there in their seat and receive Christ right like that and get born again and come out of darkness into his marvelous light. Praise God. So the Word of God, start up with one scripture and pray, start off with 5 minutes a day. You know? And boy, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, boy, what an edge you have. While I'm on that subject, let's go real quickly to Acts, the second chapter here. The book of Acts, second chapter. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. And so the pattern I want to show you this morning from the Word of God, and we're just using a few scriptures. We don't have time to go through all of them. But I wanted to highlight just a few of the main scriptures about when you're filled, it will affect your mouth. Okay? If you're not filled, it will also affect your mouth. It's called grumbling and complaining. Okay? When we grumble and we complain, it's like giving the devil the keys and a license to function in our lives. And I don't know about you, but I've been guilty of that more than once. Amen? Sometimes I got to rebuke myself. I look in the mirror, I say, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Get your attitude right. It's so easy to blame other people, isn't it? Isn't that what Adam did? He blamed his wife. The wife blamed the snake. The blame game. pass the buck. No, she did it. He did it. The snake did it. God's just looking for someone to stand up and say, take responsibility for Pete's sake. Yes. I'm ad-libbing here. Okay. Of course. But notice in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, this is a Jewish holiday, they were all with one accord in one place. Okay? It doesn't mean they were in a Honda. They're in one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled. Notice it filled. What's the name of our subject? Filled. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And by the way, this upper room still exists to this day. I have pictures of it. You can look online and see it. It's still there. Where this initial outpouring happened. They were sitting, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And there, verse 3, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And verse 4 says, and they were all, what's the word?
Filled.
Filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So what area of their body was affected when they were filled? Their mouth. And I say this, that the mouth is the control center. I mean, when you're, what we say, what we believe, what we say with our mouth, that's what literally governs our lives. Amen? The Bible says death and life are in the power of the what? Of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. If you have revelation of the tongue, you can use it to work for you rather than against you. Amen? And it says, they began, verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, Brother Keith, do I have to pray? Someone asked a preacher one time, do I have to pray in other tongues when I get filled with the Holy Ghost? Do I have to pray in other tongues? And this preacher stopped and he prayed about it. And the Lord said, no, you don't have to pray. You get to pray. You get to pray. Well, when I get the Holy Ghost, do I get the tongues with it? Well, let me ask you this question. When was the last time you bought a pair of shoes and the tongues were separate? Give me a pair of those shoes. And by the way, I want some tongues with it as well. Now, when you get the Holy Ghost, now when you're born again, now I want to correct, make sure you understand this, but when you're born again, you're born of the Spirit. You have the Spirit. In John chapter 4, it's called the well of salvation, okay? You have the Holy Spirit in you. But there's another experience subsequent to salvation over in John chapter 7. He said, Jesus stood up in John chapter 7 on the last day of the great feast and cried out and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. As the Scripture hath said, out of his innermost being, his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit. Okay, he was talking about the coming, the Holy Spirit here, all right? So you have two things. Water is always a type of the Spirit. In John chapter 4, the well of water, that's salvation. That's a type of the Spirit. That's a type of the Holy Ghost. But then over in John chapter 7, he's talking about rivers. Now ask the folks in Texas right now about rivers overflowing. That's supposed to be a really dry place this time of year, you know? And their banks are overflowing, rivers. Well, there's a difference between a well and a river. A well is self-contained. It's primarily for you. But a river is for the whole entire community. And so when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, when you get the new birth, you get the well, and that's primarily for you. Of course, it affects those around you. But the rivers, oh, dear God, when you get the rivers of the Holy Spirit, that don't make you flaky. That makes you awesome. Amen? See, anybody that's weird and flaky and trying to act spiritual, that's not spirituality anyway. People say that's God, that's spirituality. Then that's just weirdness. Okay? If you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you get filled with God, you're going to draw people to you. You're not going to repel them. That doesn't mean some people won't understand you. Sometimes that happens, you know. Amen? But when you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, it says right here, now this is, of course, the initial outpouring. There's a first time for this, all right? Well, it happened in Acts chapter 2. But there's many other instances in the book of Acts where there's other infillings of the Holy Spirit where people spake with tongues. Amen? Now, for you and I to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, we don't have to go back to Jerusalem, go to the upper room like Jesus commanded them to go wait for the promise and tarry in Jerusalem, you know. They had to because the Spirit of God wasn't poured out yet. But once He came, no one has to go back to the upper room again. No one has to go to Jerusalem again. If you want to go, have a good time. Have fun. Some of y'all have been there before. It's a great place. Amen? But you do not have to go back to Jerusalem, go in the upper room, and do the repeat steps of the apostles to get filled with the Holy Spirit. You can receive it now because the Holy Spirit is here right now. And what if I said right now, you know, we're waiting to start the church service right now. I'm waiting for Pastor Lynn to show up here this morning. So we're just going to relax for a while. We're going to wait for her to show up. Well, when I say something like that, you're going to look at me like my elevator doesn't go to the top. Or I'm a few bricks shy load. Are you with me? Why? Because Pastor Lynn is in the house. Amen? Praise God she is. So for me to say, well, we're waiting for Pastor Lynn to show up before we can start church today, you'd be looking over like, what are you talking about? She's already here. That's the same thing we do with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a matter of waiting on Him to come on us. It's a matter of receiving what He's already done. He's already come. He's already here. He's in this room right now. And you can be filled with the Holy Spirit right now. They were sitting. You are sitting. God's no respecter of persons. Amen? You can be baptized with the Holy Spirit today. You can receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit today. And I got a couple more scriptures I want to read before we close here. Go to Luke chapter 1. Outside of my front door of my house, there's a water spigot there that has a hose attached to it for watering flowers. Nothing comes out of that hose until I turn the water spigot on. You'll understand that, don't you? Say, brother, you're being too simple. No, we got to keep it real simple. That nothing comes out of that hose. The type of hose we have is those collapsible hoses. It gets down and it's flat, okay? But when you turn the water on, that thing bulks up instantly because there's water, there's pressure on the inside of that. But nothing, that thing sat there all winter long. Nothing came out of it. But just yesterday, I went over, turned that thing on, and water came out. Your mouth is like that spigot. And the source of that water doesn't come from the hose. It runs through the hose. The source of that water comes from the water company. That God knows only where. They got the water from the river or whatever. You know what I'm saying? They do their best. Do you see what I'm saying here? And so the source of that water is not within, it's not in the hose. The hose doesn't produce that. It's just the avenue where the water flows through. Your mouth is like the water spigot, okay? And the Holy Spirit flows through you, through your mouth, and releases things through your mouth. But notice here again in Luke chapter 1, I want to go through these real quickly here. But in Luke chapter 1 and verse 67, it says, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he prophesied, saying, we'll stop right there. John the Baptist's father, Zacharias. Notice he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he did what? He prophesied. So if you're going to prophesy, that means to speak for God, you got to use your mouth. You got to open your mouth. Okay? I'm not real big on things that are not scriptural. For example, silent prayers. Let's have a word of silence. That's exactly what it is, nothing. Let's bow our heads in a word of silence. What did you do? You just bowed your head. That's it. But he says he was filled with the Holy Spirit and he prophesied to speak for God. Now listen very carefully. If there is ever a day that we live that we need to speak for God, it's right now. People's lives are hanging in the balance. Some of y'all got some friends and neighbors and coworkers you work with. Their lives are hanging in the balance and teetering one way or the other. Your words can change their life. Praise the Lord. When you speak the word of God in the love of God, speaking the truth in the love of God, it will penetrate the hearts of people. That's kind of interesting because Ephesians says, speak the truth in love, which means you can speak the truth outside of love and it won't cause increase. It won't cause. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's interesting because when Paul was writing that, he was writing that about to ministers. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, you know, that we grow up in him, you know, that he gave first apostles and prophets and so forth and so on for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, for the edifying and so forth, you know. But speaking the truth in love. If you look at that whole context, he's talking about ministers speaking. How many of you were all ministers? Every one of you in this room, you are a minister. Could have fooled me, Brother Keith. No, we're ministers to minister to people. When you leave this place and you walk through these hallways and you see people, you're a minister to those people. Amen? When we go and we check out of here, we get our receipt at the end of the day, or we see those people at the hotel desk, the workers that are there, we're ministers to those people. We're showing them love and grace and goodness and a smile on your face. Amen? Because God only knows what they've been through. Amen? You know, there's been many a times I've gone out there, and you get it, the different hotels we've been at, you develop a relationship with people. You don't start out being real preachy to them. You start out just loving on them. Just blessing them, just loving on them. Before you know it, they're saying, come here, could you pray for this situation in my life? I'm going through this situation. Could you pray for me about this? Sure, I'll be glad to do that. Okay? Well, if you back up, if there was no love being sown, if I or anybody else was being stern or hard, it would repel them away from us. But when you show them love and you show them kindness, it opens up their hearts. So that when you do speak, there's some power behind it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost when I say that.
Yes.
Amen. Oh God, please use me. Oh, people say, Lord, please use me. If you get so full of God, you get so full of love.
That's right.
And mercy. I can tell you times in the past where as a believer, as a pastor even, that I wasn't filled with love. I was filled with the flesh. I don't have to give you a precept and example about that, but you know, it's under the blood, amen? We can spend ourselves thin sometimes. We can get so tired. We can get exhausted. We end up getting the people you love the most, you get in the flesh with, your spouse, your kids, or whatever, you get in the flesh with them. But if we're in the love of God and our spirit's filled with the love of God, that's what's going to ooze out of our lips. How are we going to win the world around us?
Amen.
By sternness and harshness? No. No. But by kindness and by love. Amen? Praise the Lord. I've never yet come out of a prayer time with the Lord where I wanted to chew somebody out. Just a thought.
Amen.
I've never come out of a time of prayer and I just wanted to rip someone's head. I just give them a piece of my mind, bless the Lord. Amen. Well, if I want to give somebody a piece of my mind, it better be the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Thank God for the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
Thank God that when we have missed it and do miss it, none of us are perfect in the flesh. But we have a perfect Savior. We have a perfect Redeemer. And boy, I tell you, he's there to help you. And even if you messed it, just get right back up and brush yourself off with the blood of Jesus. 1 John 1:9. You keep walking in what God has called you to walk in. Amen. So notice that Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and he prophesied. In other words, he had something to say. You know, sometimes we get too spiritual with this. We think for someone to prophesy, they have to stand up in the church and say, "Thus saith the Lord." You know. And that can be prophecy, you understand. But most of the time when people are prophesying, they don't even know it. You don't even realize it because you're just flowing with God. It's just like, oh, I was inspired to say that. I just felt compelled to say that. Well, that's prophecy. You feel compelled. Amen. And true prophecy biblically means to speak to men to edification, to exhortation, and to comfort. Amen. There's been times I felt, and I didn't know this person from Adam. And there's been times through the years where I felt led to say something to someone and walk up to them and say, "I just want you to know everything's going to work out for you." And you could just see across their face like, "Where did that come from? It's going to work out. I'm praying for you." Amen? Bless the Lord. I remember one time I was in an amusement park and there was millions of people. Okay? In fact, it was Disney. There's millions of people. And it was in, to be exact, it was in Hollywood Studios. If you want to get real specific, that's one of the parks there, right? And I'm looking around there, and I'm just looking. And everywhere I looked, I saw multitudes of people. I mean, there was so many people I could not even fathom. It's just, we're not used to being around that many people. But just thousands and thousands of people, you know. And within my heart, I said, "Lord, I wonder how many of these people actually know you. How many of these people know you?" And then the Spirit of the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, "Well, son, there's something you can do about that." Now, immediately, I'm thinking, am I going to get a megaphone and preach to all these people right here? No. That's not what he said. He said, "Don't you remember my word?" He said, the Lord looked out and he saw the multitudes and he had compassion on the multitudes. And he told his disciples, he said, "Pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." Yes. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. He says, "Pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers across these people's path." And so I'm standing there in the middle of that park and I said, "All right, Lord." Nobody knew what was going on except me and God. And I said, "Lord, in the name of Jesus." I didn't even tell my wife this. She knows this is the first time she's heard this right now. Amen. Isn't that nice of me to let her in on this right now? And I said, "In the name of Jesus, I take authority over spiritual blindness over all the people in this park right now. And Lord, I'm asking you to send laborers across their path. Send laborers across their path." And these are people from all over the globe. You meet people there from every country, every state that are there. Okay? And I felt in my heart that satisfied the Lord to pray that. Now, that didn't take very long to pray that. Maybe a minute and a half, if that. So prayers don't have to be long to be effective. So we're talking about the word and prayer. Prayers don't have to be long and effective to be effective. Nor do you have to scream at the top of your lungs for God to hear you. God will hear a whisper if you're in faith and you trust him. Amen. Isn't this liberating to know this? That means you can just go, you can relax. You can pray effectively. You can take a minute and pray or 30 seconds and pray, and God will answer that prayer, and you'll see results as a result of that. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Real quick, two more scriptures, and we're done. Acts 4:8. So we saw that Zechariah, he was filled, and he spoke. You know, he prophesied. In Acts 4:8, it says then, here it says about Peter, it says then Peter... filled, what was he? He was filled with the Holy Ghost. unto them, he said, you rulers and people and elders of Israel. Now, we'll stop right there because of time here. But Peter began to minister to these people. But notice the phrase, Peter, you know, the apostle, one of the apostles, disciples of Jesus, he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and what did he do? He said. So, we could say it like this. He was inspired to say something when he was filled. Okay? Isn't it wonderful to be inspired of God to say something?
That's right.
I feel that way this morning. It's a very humbling thing. It's a very humbling thing to say, I feel inspired to say this to bless you that are here today. Amen? So Peter was filled and he said something. Well, if he wasn't filled, he could have said the wrong thing. We know we have record of him doing that. Peter had that foot and mouth disease. You know, he's always opening up his mouth. He's either right on or he's right off. Okay? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's right. He was inspired to say that. A few minutes later, a minute later, he's saying, Lord, don't go to the cross. Remember that? Jesus rebuked him, said, get thee behind me, Satan. So he was inspired by the wrong thing to say that. Okay? How many know we as believers can even be inspired by the enemy to say things? The devil can put pressure on our tongue sometimes to say things. But sometimes you just got to bite your tongue. David said, I'll put a watch over my mouth. That doesn't literally mean, you know, a Timex over your mouth. But it means I'll put a watch over my mouth. Okay? So in Acts 4:8, Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said, he spoke. Okay? So the people around us need to hear from God. We need to hear from God. The folks around us, our family members, they need to hear from God. And sometimes it's just the vocabulary of silence that speaks louder than words.
Hallelujah.
When you're filled with the Spirit, sometimes you will say things. Other times the Holy Spirit will say, shut up and just let your actions do the talking. Just be kind. Bite your tongue. Be kind. Be nice. Be friendly. Show respect. Amen. Well, that husband of mine, he's just not a man of God. He's a jerk. That wife is just an old nag. Nagging me all the time. There's the door right there. It's open a little bit.
Praise the Lord.
How about this? Just stop and think about this. How about treating that man or that woman as if they are on fire for God and walking with God, acting accordingly instead of treating them like Nimrod's uncle? You know what I'm saying? He's the guy in the Bible, is a mighty hunter before the Lord. I'm just using that name. I wasn't inspired to say that. I just said it anyway. But treat that husband, treat that wife, treat that child as if they are already on fire and they're walking with God. And you watch and see how they respond. You ever think about going to them and say, honey, would you mind praying for me about something? And they're already in shock. They're like, what? You know what I'm saying? So what are you doing? You're instilling faith in them.
Yeah.
Now, they may not be acting the part. They may be furthest thing from that. Okay? But if you call that forth and you act and you talk as if they're already up here spiritually and not treat them like a dog, backslidden buzzard, you know what I mean? And you treat them, this takes faith. Remember Brother Dan preached, Lord, increase our faith. Sometimes we have to increase our faith by doing this, don't we? But how many of you know you've got some challenges with family members sometimes, you know what I mean? And you have to see them through the eye of love and see them through the eye of faith that they will rise up to that place.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Last scripture, Acts 4:31. Acts 4:31. Can you handle this last scripture? Okay. You're going to have a blessed day today.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. I think I'm going to take a picture of y'all today. Is that okay to do that? Is that all right? Put it on photo. Okay, it's on photo. It's not. Let's get this side right here. Everybody smile for a minute. Ready? Smile. Everybody over in this section, smile real big. All right. Praise the Lord. I got it on here. Okay? Praise the Lord. So where did that come from? I don't know. I just felt like I was supposed to do it. But Acts 4:31. Acts 4:31. It says that when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with what?
Boldness.
Boldness. They spoke the word of God. I had one more scripture, but we're not going to read it today. Praise God. We'll get into this next week. Thank you, Father. It's totally scriptural to ask for these couple of things I want to talk about right now in conclusion here, and I'm going to pray for all of us here. Paul the Apostle prayed, he mentioned in the book of Ephesians, he says, pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I might open my mouth with boldness and make known the mystery of the gospel. So there's two things that Paul prayed for that would affect the tongue, the mouth. He said, for number one, for boldness. So it's scriptural to pray for boldness. That's not arrogance, it's just strong confidence, okay? For boldness. And number two, utterance. And that preachers pray that, and they should pray that, but all of us can pray that. Lord, give me utterance today. Fill my mouth. Help me, Lord, to speak the things that I should speak. And, you know, and if I'm not supposed to say something, hold my tongue, Lord, you know? Praise God. But I'm telling you, when you get filled with this, you get filled with boldness and utterance, you become less self-conscious and more people-conscious, actually more God-conscious, which you'll be more sensitive to the leadings of the Lord, what He tells you to do. Okay? Praise God. So I'm going to pray this right now for all of us right now. And I believe He's going to answer our prayers today. And I believe there's going to be a power released for these two things, for a new boldness and fresh utterance in the Holy Spirit. And by all means, don't condemn yourself where you've missed it before. It's okay. You're still in training. We're all learning these things. I'm telling you, God understands that. He knows that we're in training. We're learning these things. He knows we're going to make mistakes, but that's okay. That's okay. He's committed to us for the long haul. He is there with us to help us. That's our loving Savior, isn't it? Jesus, our loving Savior. He sticks with us till the end. Praise the Lord. All right, now, Father, in the name of Jesus, just lay your hands on yourself right now, right here in the middle of your chest. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray, Lynn and I, we pray for every one of us here today. Not only those that are here, but those that couldn't be here today as well, Father. We pray for a boldness from heaven that we've never had before. Fill us with new boldness. Fill us, Lord, with utterance in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, now say this out loud together. Say, Father, I thank you for new scriptural holy boldness to speak without fear. From this moment forward, I will walk in a fresh and a new boldness in Jesus' name. I also thank you for fresh utterance to speak forth the oracles of God where it needs to be spoken. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. If after this, we're going to dismiss here in a second, but if anybody here today, we don't want to do this in the main service here today, but if anybody that's here, of course, that if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues, If you've never experienced that, but you would like to do that, you say, well, what qualifies me to do that? All you have to be is a Christian. If you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and you've invited Him in your heart, that's all that qualifies. And if you would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit after the service today, I'm going to have Brother Dan and Sister Lisa, I'm going to have them take you to the room next door.
Hallelujah.
Okay? If you would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it won't take very long. Okay? And you would like to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives us utterance. Okay? That is for you. All right? So they'll come up here after the service is over. Is that okay with y'all? Okay. And if you would like to be prayed for to receive the Holy Spirit,
hallelujah,
today is your day. Amen. Praise God. Come on up here, Brother Mike. We're going to pray for Brother Mark today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on up here, sweetheart. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's stretch our hands forward to Brother Mark right now. No gimangisha. Se prode moije tumas ye tukumaya. Maradele breduskara malakata. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for Mark, Lord. We thank you for your hand upon him. We thank you for your anointing upon him and the gift of God on the inside of him. And Father, right now we release our blessing upon him. That, Lord, his steps are ordered of you in this next phase, in this next transition, Lord, that you have for him. We thank you for fresh doors and fresh utterance and boldness, Lord, with messages from heaven, Lord, to decree and to declare to the people of God and to those that need you as well, Father. And so, Lord, as a congregation, Lord, we bless him today and we release him in the name of Jesus to go into the fullness of what you have for him, Father. Fullness, Lord, fullness of anointing. Fullness of your presence, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for that gift, the giftings and stirred up on the inside of him, Father.
Thank you for the moving of the Spirit.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's all together thank the Lord.